Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
Hello, and welcome to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Annie Day. Today is February 27th, 2025, and this is episode number 237. This is a show about a real revolution to bring a far better world into being. At this show, we recognize that it will take a revolution to overthrow this system of capitalism and imperialism, because it is this system that is the source of so much horrific global exploitation, unnecessary oppression, the climate catastrophe, and wars. And it is the workings of this system that has led us now to the extreme danger we face with Trump MAGA fascism holding the reins of power in the world's most powerful nuclear-armed country. This past week, Trump has continued with the purges of top federal institutions. He fired six top military commanders, including the black head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and replaced him with a white general, who Trump says told him, "I love you, sir. I'd kill for you."
And this is where I met General Raisin Kane. "And what's your name, General? What's your name?" And he gave me his name. "What's your name, Sergeant?" "Yes, sir. And I love you, sir. I think you're great, sir. I'll kill for you, sir." Then he puts on a Make America Great Again hat.
This is Trump moving to forge the already repressive U.S. military into an openly white supremacist Christian fascist army. Meanwhile, his long-term top advisor, Steve Bannon, gave a Nazi salute at the Conservative Political Action Committee conference.
Fight, fight, fight!
The vice president tried to influence German elections by upholding the neo-Nazi political party in Germany. And at the end of the show, we'll talk about Trump's obscene fascist threats on Gaza. Fascism is moving fast, with too many falling in line, and it is moving ugly. And we had better wake up and be part of waking up millions more. Because fascism has direction and momentum. And as we've learned from history, it must be stopped before it becomes too late. On today's show, we're going to be hearing from Andy Z, one of the hosts of this show, in conversation with Paul Street, the writer, activist, and historian. Both Andy and Paul are on the editorial board of Refuse Fascism, an organization that's dedicated to calling forward a mass movement of millions aimed at defeating this fascism. We're going to talk more about the upcoming national protests on March 4th, when Trump will be speaking to Congress, and on March 8th for International Women's Day. These protests need to be mass, so clear your schedule, bring your friends and family. And if you're anywhere near the East Coast, be in D.C. on March 4th and New York on March 8th. At this show, we base ourselves on and promote the revolutionary leadership that's being provided by Bob Avakian, who's brought forward the new communism, a whole new framework for human emancipation. Recently, Sansara Taylor, a host of this show, who you'll also be hearing from later in today's episode, she sat down with Bob Avakian for a wide-ranging interview. We've aired part one of this interview, and we'll be airing part two very soon. But today, I am excited to share with you a rough cut of the first two questions in part two. Here, Bob Avakian talks more about the new communism and the urgent need to break through the lie that this nightmare of a system is the best of all possible worlds.
So once again, my name is Sansara Taylor for the Revolution Nothing Less show, and I want to welcome you back to the second part of our very special interviews with the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, kicking off this momentous year, 2025. Bob Avakian, welcome back. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Very good. So we want to focus more in the second part of our interviews on the new communism that you've developed and what this will look and feel like in a new society. Why should somebody who is not a communist care that there is a new communism?
Well, if you care about the situation of the masses of people in the world, if you care about humanity, if you care about the future, then what the new communism is dealing with is all of that. You know, the kind of future that humanity is going to have, the kind of conditions that people are going to live in, the kind of society, the kind of relations among people, the kind of economic system and what it's going to serve and whom it's going to serve. The culture, all these things are very much bound up with, you know, the whole question of the direction of society, the future of society, the future of humanity as a whole. That's what the new communism is all about. So if you aren't a communist, then it's one of two things. Either you're stuck in the system as it is, or, you know, and or you don't know about all this and you need to learn about it. That's what I would say.
Well, I think there are a tremendous amount of misconceptions about communism. A lot of, horror stories have been told about communism. How is genuine communism different than what people's misconceptions are? And also, what's maybe new and surprising to people about the new communism?
The main misconceptions people have are the ones that have been spread by the people who have the most interest in not seeing a radically different society, fundamentally different relations and culture and so on, namely the people who rule over the present system, the capitalist imperialist ruling classes in different countries, including at the top of the heap, the ruling class of this country. Those are the people that have, the most interest in distorting what communism is about. And it goes from everything. You can watch something, like Jeopardy, and, all of a sudden you're listening to the questions and trying to figure out the answer, or listening to the answer and trying to figure out the question as it goes on Jeopardy. And all of a sudden they sneak in some anti-communist, attack within a question, Never do they talk about the crimes of the CIA. They never have a question that says, for what, institution in the U.S. government was responsible for the slaughter of nearly a million people in Indonesia? Is it the CIA? Yes, it is. They never have those kind of questions on Jeopardy, but they have all kinds of slander about communism. And then they have the contest to, they start out distorting the number of people who, are supposedly killed by Mao in China or whatever. And then they have a contest to see who can escalate the number. Oh, it was 10 million people killed by Mao. Oh, no, it was 20 million people. Oh, it was 30 million people. It was 40 million people. And none of those statistics are correct. There were hardships in China. If you people who read, the Pearl Buck novels and so on back in the 1930s or whatever, could learn about what the terrible conditions of the masses of peasants who made up the great majority in the hundreds of millions in that society, what they were living like, and why they needed a revolution, how the revolution liberated and uplifted them out of those conditions. Eliminating massive diseases, eliminating the plagues of drug addiction. I remember I was in China in 1971, and I talked to a woman, whose son had been working in the mines in the old society. And it was for the mine workers, it was very much like the slaves in the U.S. before the Civil War. They had a saying, the slaves in the U.S., working from can't see in the morning till can't see at night. And I remember this woman telling us that her son said he never saw the sun, because they worked 7 days a week and they would go into the mines before the sun came up and they would leave after it went down. And this, under terrible conditions of people. And so to deal with this, her son and millions of others became opium addicts. And all this was uprooted and eliminated when they got rid of these exploitative conditions in China. The oppression of women, on all kinds of levels, the bending, the binding of the feet of women so they would walk, like this and look more quote-unquote sexy, whatever. All these, mass prostitution, which is now back in China, now that the revolution that Mao led has been reversed and capitalism has been restored in China. All these terrible things that went on, that the revolution moved to overcome and to uplift people beyond. And yes, were there shortcomings in these revolutions? Of course. These were unprecedented attempts of masses of human beings to transform whole societies. In the case of China, hundreds of millions of people, moving to transform society, to transform every aspect of it, a stultifying culture that reinforced all the feudal and capitalist relations of exploitation, the educational system, the culture, the science, to reorient them to serving the people, as was the popular slogan in China, for example. So in a massive undertaking, a massive, struggle like this, of course mistakes are going to be made. And yes, there were some shortcomings in the understanding of the leadership which contributed to those mistakes. So on the one hand, if we step back and look at the big picture, the grand picture of hundreds of millions of people engaging in a struggle to uproot all this oppression and exploitation and degradation, we can say, if you look into it honestly and scientifically, that it was tremendously positive in its main aspect. At the same time, we also have to scientifically analyze that there were real shortcomings, not only in what was done, but also in the conception and in the approach of those who were leading it. So that's a scientific assessment, and that's, you know, very important for people, including, you know, the great mass of people now who are not communists, don't consider them communists, to understand. Because another reason why people should care and should understand is, you know, people, masses of people really do care about the kinds of things that a communist revolution would actually deal with. But they don't know that. Mm-hmm. And so they need to look into that, because people are frustrated, angry. I mean, among the youth today, there's all this depression and anxiety and suicide. Why? One of the main reasons is that they don't think there's any alternative to this horrific way that they're forced to live, even if they don't have an understanding either right now without the scientific approach of why the world is the way it is. They've been bombarded with the notion, inundated with the notion, that there's no alternative to this, and that's very depressing.
There's so much ignorance that a lot of people, actually, they think, and China still claims that it's communist today. And so you said that the communist revolution there was reversed, but I wonder if you want to say more, just so people get, you're talking about something radically different than what people see today in China.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
We're in the middle of a revolution because I see the face of things to come. Oh, your constitution, well, my friend, it's gonna have to bend. I'm here to tell you about the destruction of all the evil it will have to end. Are gonna get the notion, I know. They'll say I'm preaching hate. If I have to swim the ocean, well, I will, just to communicate. It's not as simple as talk and jive, the daily struggle just to stay alive. Pollution. Well, you know, you've got to clean your brain. The only way that we can stand, in fact, is when you get your foot off my back.
So that was a rough cut of the beginning of part two of the new interview that Sansara Taylor conducted with Bob Avakian. If you care about humanity and the future, you will not want to miss this. From here, they get more into the breakthroughs in the new communism, what it means that there really is a whole different way the world can be, and a theoretical understanding to guide us to that world. They get into questions of leadership, culture, courage, and they circle back to the urgent situation that we're facing right now with the extreme danger of Trump MAGA fascism and the urgent need to get rid of the system that's given rise to this fascism and so many other horrors. There's a battle taking place right now for people to understand what we're facing. You just heard Bob Avakian talk about the lid that's on people, the mass depression that's caused, that people think that this is the only world that's possible. We have to break people out of all of that and raise their sights to what you just heard from Bob Avakian. This is going up against the extremely well-funded fascists and all those who are telling you to go along with this fascism, to rely on the confines of this system. But what's needed is for people to break out of that. So now we want to go to Sansara Taylor with a challenge for International Women's Day.
Yes, the world's most radical thinker on women's liberation is an old white man. This is a challenge to you to put aside any ill-founded prejudice and seriously engage Bob Avakian. We stand at a crossroads. Never before have so many women and so many parts of the world broken free of so many traditional chains of patriarchy. Women have fought their way into public life and into every profession. Growing numbers boldly and rightfully reject the shame that is long attached to female sexuality, to abortion, and to being the victim of sexual assault. LGBT people have become widely visible, won important basic rights, and achieved growing respect and acceptance. Yet not only has the oppression of women and LGBT people never let up. In direct opposition to every hard-fought advance, a pressure cooker of hateful, patriarchal revenge and resentment has been building up and is now erupting to new levels of bigoted violence and depravity. Trump MAGA 2.0 is moving to openly enslave women, valorizing sexual assault, and moving towards a national ban on abortion and even birth control. They are using the power of the state to utterly erase trans people. And all around the world, women face femicide and torture, forced veilings and honor killings, the industrialization of sexual slavery of millions and millions of women and girls, and rape as a weapon of war. Such a wildly divergent situation cannot go on for long. One side or the other will win out. The revolutionary leader Bob Avakian foresaw this coming showdown 40 full years ago. In 1985, he wrote the following, quote, "The whole question of the position and role of women in society is more and more acutely posing itself in today's extreme circumstances. This is a powder keg in the U.S. today. It is not conceivable that all this will find any resolution other than in the most radical terms and through extremely violent means. The question yet to be determined is, will it be a radical reactionary or a radical revolutionary resolution? Will it mean the reinforcing of the chains of enslavement or the shattering of the most decisive links in those chains and the opening up of the possibility of realizing the complete elimination of all such forms of enslavement?" End quote. Think about this. Where would we be today if over the last 40 years, since Bob Avakian said that, quote, more people had listened and joined the fight to build up the side of all the way liberation? But instead of engaging the incredible work that Bob Avakian has done over these decades on this question and many others, all too many people have refused to engage this because Bob Avakian is an old white man and a communist at that. If we are to have a future of real liberation and not one of brutal enslavement, this has got to stop. So before you give in to any knee-jerk urge to dismiss this because you've been socialized your whole life to wince and retreat from critical thought in the face of the word communist, recognize that doing so would only mean allowing yourself to be played by the very system that enforces all this oppression. And before you give in to any knee-jerk urge to dismiss this, because you don't want to hear an old white man mansplain about women, recognize that if it is an oppressive lie to claim that women are hardwired to be submissive and obedient and less smart than the rest, and that is an oppressive lie, it is no less harmful to dismiss the insights of a serious revolutionary scientist and innovator because he happens to be old, white, and male. Truth is truth. Truth is what corresponds to objective reality. And when truths are discovered that shed light on how we can get free, then everyone who wants to see humanity gets free has a responsibility to engage these truths, to take them up, and to fight for them. Where would we be if Bob Avakian's leadership hadn't been ignored? Ask yourself this. Where would we be if, rather than wasting decades following the Democratic Party's morally defensive attempt to seek common ground with Christian fascist haters of women, more people had heeded Bob Avakian's recognition as far back as the 1980s that the assault on abortion was never about babies, but has always been about controlling and enslaving women? Where would we be if in 2022, as the Supreme Court moved to overturn abortion rights, more people had joined with me and others in leading a massive fight to prevent this, rather than attacking this fight by demonizing Bob Avakian and myself for following him? This demonization was very convenient for the fascists and very damaging to the people, and women are paying the price every day. Where would we be if more people had listened to Bob Avakian's courageous clarity and calling out the way that the mainstreaming of ever more violent and degrading pornography, alongside the mushrooming of industrialized sexual slavery on a global scale, was part of a violent revenge against women, not something to rebrand as empowerment or something to attempt to own and cash in on? Where would we be if, rather than remaining trapped within the terms of this system of capitalism imperialism, people had listened to Bob Avakian's scientific insistence that in order to fully liberate women and put an end to all oppression based on sex, gender, and sexual orientation, we need a revolution that brings about a radically different mode of production? That means a whole different way society is organized in its foundational economic relations and the way that this is woven into and conditions the relations among people. Take the time to dig into Bob Avakian's work on this. You've probably seen the sign that women who are righteously furious often carry at protests. I can't believe I still have to protest this. Well, Bob Avakian's analysis on the mode of production provides an answer as to why, as long as we continue to live under this system, even when we make partial gains and partial victories, they will always be under attack. So we will always have to keep protesting this and how it is that we can get beyond this. And ask yourself, where would we be if more people had had the intellectual curiosity and integrity to engage what is radically new in the new communism that Bob Avakian has forged? This includes the way that Bob Avakian has been willing to interrogate and break with long-standing traditions in the communist movement, including the history of the RevComs that downplayed the need to take up the fight against women's oppression in its own right, and which included outmoded and oppressive views about gender and sexuality. Where would we be if more people had seriously engaged Bob Avakian's breakthroughs in grasping the centrality of the fight against the oppression of women and against patriarchy in every form, to ensuring that the revolution we make this time goes all the way forward to a complete emancipation? There is so much more I could cite from Bob Avakian, ways that he has gone hard against the erasure of women, ways that he's led the fight against the relativist epistemology and woke lunacy that leads to and has fed this erasure, the way that Bob Avakian has consistently challenged men to see that they have to take up this fight as their own, the way that Bob Avakian is providing leadership for defeating Trump MAGA fascism, the way that he has identified that we are in a time right now when revolution is more possible than it's been in generations, and how we can seize on this, and much, much more. But instead of going into all that, I want to leave you with a second quote from Bob Avakian and then a challenge. Bob Avakian has said, "You cannot break all the chains except one. You cannot say you want to be free of exploitation and oppression, except you want to keep the oppression of women by men. You can't say that you want to liberate humanity, yet keep one half the people enslaved to the other half. The oppression of women is completely bound up with the division of society into masters and slaves, exploiters and exploited. And the ending of all such conditions is impossible without the complete liberation of women. All this is why women have a tremendous role to play, not only in making revolution, but in making sure there is all the way revolution. The fury of women can and must be fully unleashed as a mighty force for proletarian revolution. As we approach International Women's Day, March 8, 2025, with the forces of women's enslavement and LGBT hatred breathing down the neck of every woman and non-gender conforming person on this planet, and yet we sit with the possibility of the most radical and liberating revolution in human history being more possible than it has ever been, isn't it time that you put aside any ill-founded prejudice and seriously and with an open mind engage this far-sighted, deeply scientific, big-hearted revolutionary leader that humanity is lucky to have? Thank you, Sansara. As she said, March 8th is International Women's Day, a day to fight for the emancipation of women. Refuse Fascism is calling for protests nationwide to demand stop the war on women and LGBTQ people. The fascist Trump regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. As their call says, Trump rode into his second term on a wave of unbridled misogyny. They call out the extreme danger for women, LGBTQ people, and all of humanity, and they call for mass protest. International Women's Day must be a day to fill the streets in towns and cities across the country with everyone who cares about women and LGBTQ people, everyone who refuses to be silent, everyone who does not want a fascist America. We won't go back. We won't submit. Be in the streets Saturday, March 8th, across the country. Go to refusefascism.org to read their full call and to learn more. If there's not a protest called in your area, then pull people together and make it happen. We're going to go now to an interview that one of the hosts of this show, Andy Z, just did with Paul Street, a writer, activist, and historian. They're both on the editorial board of Refuse Fascism. Let's watch.
All right, so Paul, how are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing all right. We're living in a period of attempted fascist consolidation and trying to do the best we can to fight back.
Well, I agree with that. We have to actually also win this fight for the future of humanity. Paul, so on March 4th, Trump is going to be speaking to a joint session of Congress. Why is this important? What is actually going on with this? And then we're going to talk about why Refuse Fascism has called a protest in front of the Capitol for that day, as well as other places around the country.
Well, there's the official storyline, which is that it's sort of a early State of the Union address and that it's a policy address as Trump and his Republic Fascist Party try and pass their big, beautiful tax cutting budget slashing bill. But to me, I think the reality is that this is a moment, an opportunity for them to celebrate and advance fascist consolidation, not so much a policy gathering or a State of the Union address as really much more like a Nuremberg rally. This is about fascism. This is about advancing and promoting fascism. And as Bob Avakian says, the fascism represented by Trump is white supremacist, it's male supremacist, it's anti-LGBT, it's immigrant bashing, it's about destroying the environment, it's anti-scientific, and it's a religious fundamentalist fanaticism. And its goal is to use the power of the government to forcibly compel obedience to this vicious reactionary lunacy. And we are in the middle of an attempted consolidation of American fascism, white supremacism, patriarchy, xenophobia, the celebration of America first, America over the world, America threatening to seize Greenland, America threatening to seize the Panama Canal, America claiming under Trump that it could make Canada the 51st state, and with a strong a dose of Christianity, the Bible wrapped in the American flag. This is much worse than what you're hearing from a lot of the Democrats, that it's oligarchy and that this is just the billionaire class and the rich folks trying to, you know, cut taxes and slash budgets to hurt the poor people. That's certainly part of it, but it's much worse than that. This is a moment of fascist celebration and fascist advance. They do not want to tear. They are not trying to tear down the government. They are not trying to dismantle the government. They are trying to and moving to rapidly take over the government and use it to make over American society in accord with white supremacist, patriarchal, nativist, xenophobic, gay bashing, traditional so-called values, in my opinion.
So, Paul, let's just go into that last point about that they're trying to take over the government. And that gets to some of the significance of what is actually happening in Trump going to Congress and being invited there by the fascist Republican Party there, Mike Johnson in particular, because there is a question here that we refuse fascism has always emphasized, and that's been part of what Bob Avakian has brought out very clearly, that fascism is a transformation in the form of rule of this system. It's always been a dictatorship of the oligarchs and the capitalist class, but that there's a particular form of rule here that is being fought for. And I don't know what you think about this, but it seems Trump going to Congress at this point, when is a part of actually tamping down and actually asserting primacy of the rule of the fascist leader over Congress, and also to go and hit very hard at any opposition in Congress that exists, which it was principally the Democrats there, which is a key part of their target in terms of how they intend to implement the program that you very sharply delineated.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, this appearance before Congress is a clear attempt to dramatically demonstrate hegemony over the legislative branch of government. There's, I think, no doubt about it. I mean, I think you bring up something really key, which is that fascism is much more than just the sum of its various different policy points. It's assault on DEI. You know, it's deportation campaign. You could just fill in the blank of all the different things. But what connects them and ties them all together is the drive for a new form of governments, really for the overthrow of what was previously normative in the ways of democracy, electoral democracy, parliamentarianism, and rule of law. No, this is the rule of men, you know, over the rule of law. And, you know, Trump is basically saying F Article 1 of the Constitution, which is the supremacy of the legislative branch, F Article 3 of the Constitution, which is the power of the judiciary. He's saying he is the law. He's not just trying to, he's not just defying the law. He's trying to change the law. And why wouldn't he be? His very presence in the White House in the first place is in total defiance of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Technically speaking, on paper, insurrectionists aren't allowed to hold public office. He shouldn't be there. Now he's trying to get rid of the first section of the 14th Amendment, which guarantees birthright citizenship, you know. And I repeat, they don't want to take down the government. They want to take over the government. They want to remake the gay government and wield it for white supremacist, patriarchal, xenophobic, nationalist purposes, and all of that. I mean, these people have released top fascist paramilitaries from prison and jail to try to terrorize us and to keep us off the streets. The people that they have put in charge, that when I say they, the Republican Fascist Party under their cult leader Trump, in charge now of the military and in charge of the Department of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are there so that Trump can potentially not have defy the Constitution's two-term limit. And so that he can, if he wants to, declare the Insurrection Act or declare martial law to stop protests in the streets. This is what we're dealing with. And this is why Pritzker, he might be a billionaire. He might be just a liberal Democrat. But he's onto something here when he says this has the echoes of the Third Reich, of Nazi Germany. And he refers to the moment we're in right now as a five-alarm fire that we better put out quick, fast, and in a hurry, or it's going to burn out of control.
If you think I'm overreacting and sounding the alarm too soon, consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic. And all I'm saying is that when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control.
I think we should talk a little bit about why it is extremely important that people protest and why Refuse Fascism, that is getting going again as an organization building the resistance to this regime under the main slogan of "In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America," and that the Trump fascist regime must go. Why it's important to be there, to not just sit this out and watch this on your television, but to actually be there. It's indicated in what we've said, but what are the actual stakes for humanity, and why is it important to be present there in protest and in terms of what Refuse Fascism is actually bringing to the table and putting before humanity and the people of this country?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you said, you know, included that full slogan, you know, in the name of humanity. This is not just about the United States. The Trump and his cabal threaten ecocide across national boundaries and for all to accelerate the destruction of livable ecology. They are an existential menace to a decent future to all life on this planet. They also now threaten to exacerbate the next pandemic and help spread that around the world. And they are advocating a form of nationalism and international conflict that is just truly and tragically reckless in a period when the world is stock full of ever more sophisticated nuclear weapons and nuclear technology. So, you know, this isn't just about Americans. And if people don't show up directly in the seat of power, some groups I know have had a reluctance to actually go to DC itself, and they're having physical protests only outside the Capitol. This is the seat of power. This is the seat of power, Washington, DC, of the most powerful, destructive, and dangerous imperial power in the history of the human race. And if this fascism, which is headquartered, it's not limited just to DC, but which is headquartered and spearheaded in Washington, DC, you know, is allowed to take place without protest from the people, then it will consolidate. And the folks that we need to be allied with within the system that are starting in different cases, in D.C. itself, also outside D.C., to resist this consolidation.
We are mad scientists!
We are
mad scientists!
Hands off of research!
Hands off of research!
We'll feel that they have no backing, and they'll be encouraged to just play along with it and to just capitulate to it. This would be a great popular statement of the need not to capitulate to the consolidation of this fascism. And I think, too, that it's very important right now to be honest about the stakes and the risks that are involved. And Refuse Fascism is committed, despite security issues and despite all kinds of difficulties and logistics and fears connected with acting in DC. It's very important right now. It's extremely critical to demonstrate courage and readiness to confront power at its headquarters, which is Washington, DC right now.
Well, that's important. And we should note that the protests that Refuse Fascism has called in front of the Capitol is permitted And it is will be a nonviolent protest that's calling on people to continue to rise up. And we can get into that in a minute. But I think it's important that you brought out, those members of the ruling class who are stepping forward, people like Pritzker and what he said. And, I think that that's important because it actually brings up an important question here, that this movement to drive this regime from power, to prevent it from, that's the must go statement, Trump fascism must go, that this is going to require very broad unity. At the same time, it was important you brought out some of the stuff in the U.S., some of the principles in the U.S. Constitution that they're trying to overturn. Now, it's important that revolutionaries, this is the RNL, Revolution Nothing Less show, it's important that revolutionaries do have those big arms, but it's also important for everyone else to be able to work with the RevComs who don't actually find that, are not working to reassert those principles of the U.S. Constitution, but to actually get beyond that. Mm. To see, we actually see that's the roots of this fascism, as Bob Avakian points out in his 2025 New Year's statement, that the roots of fascism in this country come from a country founded on slavery and genocide and the whole history of the country since then, and that we are aiming for a whole different way that humanity could be living, a fundamentally different system. And that's very important. We're building up the forces for the possibility of an actual revolution. But right now, fascism is going to be, as you said, existential for humanity, and frankly, existential even for resistance in this country to a great extent, if should they be able to consolidate it. You made the point that they release the entire January 6th mob with the express purpose, as unstated, but plenty of winks involved, that this is an paramilitary extra force, and he's also forming what's called the Praetorian Guard within the state structures, which is where you have this, how he's taken over, and the FBI and all this kind of stuff. We have to actually build the kind of unity where people are standing on the same stage. And then I've said it publicly, then people should go out and debate and dialogue about what is the history of this country, gave rise to this fashion, what's the fundamental problem, what's the fundamental solution, as we stand together to stop this fascism. So I think it's important that you brought out, especially for the revolutionaries, to understand the constitutional dimensions of this. And then for those who believe in that, they should check out the Constitution for the new socialist Republic in North America and see the possibility of a different future. Now, I wanted to ask you, sure. I know we don't have, we do have limited time, rather, to talk a little bit about what Refuse Fascism is envisioning to seriously be able to drive this regime out, and why it is important to not just be in Washington, but to be going on the offensive against the whole Trump agenda and not only its parts.
Yeah, well, and listen, I think it's very important specifically for an organization that has fascism entitled and says Refuse Fascism to be a leading player in D.C. and around the country in this, because there's going to be struggle, and it's going to have to be broad unity, but also an ongoing discussion with people that what this really is. This is fascism, and it ties together all the different attacks. It is the connecting thread. This is not just oligarchy. This is not just nativism. This is not just anti-science. This is not just Christian fundamentalism. This is all of these things tied together under the rubric of an attempted consolidation of a new form of rule, of fascist governance. We are calling for, in the name of humanity, that the Trump fascist regime must go. It poses too great of an existential danger to humanity, to a livable environment, to a decent future, for us to tolerate its presence atop the most powerful country in world history for 4 more years, or 3 more years, or 2 more years. 4 more years of this is just unsustainable. It's just imaginable. Okay, this regime, it is unclear that we can, as a species, survive in a recognizable and decent form 4 more years of this regime, and we are quite serious. We mean it. Trump must go. The Trump fascist regime must go. It probably sounds crazy and wild and radical to people. There are historical precedents for this. This is done. This has been done by people. People have forced out regimes. I think of the Arab Spring in 2011. I think of things that are happening in South Korea right now. I think about the masses coming out where they've actually, you know, mass protests have led to the indictment and the arrest of a MAGA-like fascist president in South Korea. I think of the mass protests that got rid of a far-right gay-bashing governor in Puerto Rico in 2019. People did the Mario Savio thing. They put their bodies on the line and they shut down and they forced out a governor. Right now, it's possible that mass anger and legal actions are going to stop the fascist Bolsonaro movement in Brazil from coming back to power. So this does happen. People do take to the streets and the public squares and engage in the type of activism beyond mere electoral politics and regimes. And it's really our duty to do that. And that's one of the things we're trying to show is the fortitude and the courage and the determination to do that. In Washington, D.C., I encourage people to come. If they can't make it to D.C., to come out to any of the many number of protests that will be held, some with profuse fascism chapters involved, like in Chicago, and I'm sure L.A. and New York, in their home cities and not just in the big cities.
All right. Well, Paul, I know the Refuse Fascism flyer ends with the whole world is watching. It's very important that people take this up. Go to refusefascism.org. As well as to revcom.us to find out more about this, to see what Refuse Fascism is saying and what the revcoms are saying, what Bob Avakian in particular has been saying, including in the interviews that were just done with him by Sansara Taylor. So, Paul, thank you for being on for this interview, and I will see you soon.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Andy. Let's keep talking.
All right, you got it.
Again, protests are March 4th in D.C. and nationwide, so go to refusefascism.org to learn more. This week, Donald Trump posted a fascist fantasy AI video featuring Gaza remade as a Middle Eastern Las Vegas with a 40-foot gold statue of Trump himself, along with an imaginary picture of Trump and Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister and genocider-in-chief, sipping drinks on the beach with sick, twisted smiles, and no Palestinians in sight, except the ones that you cannot see buried beneath their feet. This was a Nazi-level obscenity. And what makes it even more obscene is that right now, Netanyahu is preparing to unleash his army on Gaza in an even more ferocious and savage assault than we've seen so far, aimed at finally purging all the Palestinians out of Gaza. This video was a twisted celebration and a green light of Netanyahu's promised mass slaughter. This week, on some campuses, up against fierce repression, some protests have begun again. And this has to spread, and it has to involve everyone and anyone who's determined to see this nightmare end, who wants to see a stop to the genocide of the Palestinian people. The Trump fascist regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. Stay tuned for the full of part two of the interview that Sansara Taylor just did with Bob Avakian. This is something that people need to hear, watch, and spread. It's the leadership that people need to raise people's sights to the kind of world we need to be fighting for, the kind of world that's possible, and the leadership we have in Bob Avakian. So hit the notification bell so you're alerted as soon as it comes out. I want to thank the team with the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. Make a comment in the comment section below so we can learn what you have to say. And your comments help defy the algorithm. It helps this show spread. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/therevcoms. To take us out, we want to show some footage from this Tuesday where the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity organized people across the country to take up and spread the declaration. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. This declaration lays out in concrete a whole better way the world can and needs to be. See you next week.
We need and we demand a whole new way to live in a fundamentally different system.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/therevcoms and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Las calles que tienen los jueces y los judiciales, hoy a las mujeres nos quitan la calma, nos sembraron miedo, nos crecieron alas. A cada minuto de cada semana nos roban amigas, nos matan hermanas, destrozan sus cuerpos, los desaparecen. No olvides sus nombres, por favor, señor presidente. Por todas las compas luchando en Reforma, por todas las morras peleando en Sonora, por las comandantas luchando por Chiapas, por todas las madres buscando en Tijuana.
Cantamos sin miedo, pedimos justicia, gritamos por cada desaparecida.
Que resuene fuerte,
nos queremos vivas,
que caiga con todo lo incendio, yo todo lo rompo. Si un día algún fulano te apaga los ojos, ya nada me calla, ya todo me sobra. Si tocan a una, respondemos todas. Soy Claudia, soy Esther y soy Teresa. Soy Ingrid, soy Fabiola y soy Valeria.
Soy la niña que subiste por la fuerza.
Soy la madre que ahora llora por sus muertas.
Y soy esta que te hará pagar las cuentas.
Justicia, justicia, justicia.
Por todas las compas marchando en Reforma, por todas las morras peleando en Sonora, por las comandantas luchando por Chiapas, por todas las madres buscando el Chicana.
Cantamos sin miedo, pedimos justicia, gritamos por cada desaparecida.
Que resuene fuerte,
nos queremos vivas.
Que caiga con fuerza
el feminicida.
Que caiga con fuerza
el feminicida.
Y retiemble en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del amor. Y retiemble.